All right, turn your Bible to Luke chapter 18, please. Luke chapter 18. One of the most common books, common topics of the Christian books is about prayer. We don't have to wonder why there are so many books regarding written about prayer. Obviously, people want to know, how can I pray right so that God can hear what I petitioning so that he can do what I want him to do, right? There's some heresy in it, but also there is a truth in it. Otherwise, if we don't have the right element in the prayer, if we don't have a right mindset in the prayer that goes with the prayer, it's nothing more than mumbling hot air that would not reach to the throne of grace. The required elements are persistence, humility, complete trust in God, and exclusive devotion to Him, and believing the power of God, and obedience, self-sacrifice, and expectation from our great God. And some of you guys know about the Luke chapter 18, and you're thinking, you got all that out from this chapter? It's not really about prayer. First two portions of the Luke chapter 18 might be prayer, but the rest of them is not. It's about the approaching God. What do you think a prayer is? Come on, talk to me. It's approaching God, isn't it? You dared with measly human being, depraved human being, worth nothing without God. We are dared to come to the throne of grace, Almighty God, and asking Him that what we need. That's approaching God, isn't it? So I put that in a category way so that we can see the element of the prayer that we need to consist in our prayer. What if I don't have time to pray a long prayer, put all these ingredients in it? Simple prayer will do, such as help. Does it work? Yes, it works. Let me make an example. Apostle Peter, at that time disciple, Peter was drowning because he walked on water until he took the eyes off from who? Jesus, and looked around the ocean. Just like we do, instead of keeping our eyes on God and looked around the circumstances, the immediate problem we're having, we keep the eyes off from God to the circumstance. He was, and guess what happened to him? He was sinking. And did he come up with an all-long prayer about the 30 minutes? He didn't have a 30 minute. After 30 minutes, he would be very dead. So, what did he say? Lord, help. Jesus reached out, pulled him up. They walked on water. I'm sure that was totally cool. And Peter is walking back to the boat, and the rest of the guys dropping their jar, and then he was going, yeah, we are tight. You're not. I am tight. Let me put it this way. Prayer is not about demanding what we want and expect Him to take care of what we want as bellhop would do if you go to a fancy hotel. That's not what God does. We are His subject. Can you say it with me? We are His subject. We are His slaves. Slaves don't tell master what to do. Are you with me on that? Don't ever think that you are in charge of the universe. You ain't. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for your loving grace in Christ Jesus. Father, we are most grateful that you even reached down to us to save us. Because you are great and greatly to be praised. Honor and majesty are before you, and strength and gladness are in your place. While we are sinners, you and your enemies, you extend your mercy toward us and your grace toward us through your Son Jesus Christ. Because of his atoning sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection, we can have eternal life. Father, indeed, you alone is worthy of our praise and worship and adoration. As we open our Bible and our hearts to receive your word, Father, we are asking you to anoint our hearts to know the elements of our prayer, so that we may pray to you proper way, that we may glorify your name. And anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins. And we also pray for the President Trump. Father, let him come to know you and receive Jesus into his heart and do what is right in his heart. So far, he is doing a lot of good things. Father, we pray for our troops, especially one in the harm's way. And we also pray for our uniformed personnel, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters. You be their backup, and you be their life-preserving vest to keep them alive, bringing them back to their homes, to their family. Chapter 18, verse 1, please. Then he spoke a parable to them then, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard men. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming, she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears along with him? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Stop there, please. During the time of Jesus, the ladies, women, especially widows, did not have a whole lot of support. They did not have any social program. They did not have an advocate who would protect their rights. They didn't get the justice unless they have a lot of money or they have a friend. This woman in chapter 18 did not have a friend to help her case to be heard by the judge. And all she could do was just hang around outside of the tent where the judge probably normally is near the gate, and they had a tent, and she would hang around there shouting out loud, becoming a nuisance to the judge, to the point where he said, okay, I'm done with this lady. I got to do something about it. The Greek word for trouble me is literally give me black eyes. Not physically black eyes, emotionally he is worn out. Judge finally grant her request, not out of a sense of a fairness or compassion, rather for self-preservation. Does this mean that we continually pray and nag at God so until God says, okay, I'm done with you, I will give you what you want, just shut up? Would he do that? No, that's not the case. God is not like this ungodly judge by any means. Prayer is not 100 dash or one fast and fleshly effort. Rather, Christ shows us that it's a marathon of a continuous and steady petition. In fact, he invites us to bother him with our request. And you may wonder, where? Matthew chapter 7, he said, keep on what? Seeking, keep on knocking, and keep on asking. As the Apostle Paul put it in the prayed without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So does it mean that we walk around with the eyes closed and then mumbling something like a person out of mind 24/7? No, that's not what I meant. Indeed, prayer should be like a part of our life, like a regular breathing. Unless you're sick, the breathing should be normal. It's not something you think about. Am I correct? Okay, if you time to time I get this seasonal asthma when the things fly in the air, especially when I see the yellow flowers on the tree, I have no idea what that is. But I know I'm going to have a hard time breathing. So, unless we have that kind of situation, breathing is normal. Am I correct? If we have to remember, many of us would be dead, especially in this Green Valley area. It's, what I'm saying is, prayer should be natural. It's something you do with the Lord all the time. Prayer should not be 911 thing. You have no idea who God is until you are in the hot water. Oh yeah, I got to call God. No. It should be everyday thing. You talk with Him every day. If you're married and you are dating, you want to hear from that person. You want to talk to that person. Ladies, please spare your elbows. Okay, don't do this too much. You like that person, right? Man with a few words. That was attractive. Now you're married. You don't like that thing. Likewise, with the prayer, it should be a natural habit of our life. At the atmosphere in which we constantly live. Besides, our persistent prayers demonstrate what? Faith in Him. That is what our God is really after. Go down to verse 9. Oh, by the way, first element is a prayer with persistence. Say it with me. Prayer with persistence. Second one is a prayer with humility. Say it with me. Prayer with humility. And you wonder, why you keep making us repeat? That way you don't fall asleep. Anyone who falls asleep, I will name you because I know all of your name. Also, I spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that who they were righteous and despised others. Get that, guys, please. Who trust in themselves, they were righteous, number one, okay? Number two, and what? Say it with me, despise others. Okay, note that in the back of your mind. Verse 10. Two men went up to temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioner, unjust, adulterer, or even this tax collector. And I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, and beat his breast, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbled himself will be exalted. Did you notice whom the Pharisee prayed to? He was praying to himself. He was praying aloud a flawless, eloquent, and a flowery phrase so that anyone around him can hear. He didn't care whether God heard him or not. He was very impressed with himself. And he was really enjoying to hear his own voice. Do you know someone who loves to hear their own voice? They yak, 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 and you like to put the sock in their mouth, right? And don't you ever shut up? But they like to hear their own voice. This is the guy. And this man's heart was bloated with pride. Let me say one more time. This man's heart is bloated with pride. And it naturally follows that the more we impressed the man's heart, impressed we are with ourselves, the more judgmental we are of others. And you may say, how did you get there? Remember what I said? Go back to the verse 9. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. First, he thinks that he is righteous, and second, he despised others. Judgmental attitude. First one is overvaluing himself. You follow me? So, actually, he was full of himself that he did not have a room for God in his heart either. However, tax collector displayed a complete opposite attitude. He was a broken and contrite spirit, and he was not even saying a long prayer like a pompous Pharisee, and he was the one who received the riches of the grace of God and went home in peace, though he had a spiritual poverty. It's not what you bring to God, because we have nothing to show off. Are you? Do you understand that? We have nothing to show off. You may say, oh, I have a beautiful financial portfolio. God paved the street with the gold. Do you think he's impressed with your financial portfolio? Do you know anyone who paved the street with the gold? So don't try to impress him. And you may say, my IQ is 146. Can you understand the DNA? He created it. It's beyond DNA boggles all the scientists' mind. He has an infinite IQ. We have a little three-digit maximum at 200, who is the smartest person. And I don't think any of you are the smartest person, because I don't see a neon sign above your head. It's a lot easier to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to a spiritually bankrupt person who knows he is a sinner than someone who is a spiritually stuck up. Did you notice the way I said it? Spiritually stuck up people. And some people who've been in the church a few times and or somehow related with some religion, they think that they are the God's meow in this case, I guess. When I talked to the prison inmate, who knew that they were the sinners and they accept their sins, and they are the one who is more than willing to receive Jesus Christ. God would not listen to any one of us who is not humble. If we are filled with pride about who we are or what we can do, God would not say to us, enjoy yourself since you don't need me. I want God to hear me. When I pray, I want God to hear me. So I'd rather humble myself than God humbles me. Usually the case is that when God humbled me, it's painful. Been there, done that, bought the many shirts. I don't want to buy another shirt. When I have an attitude, God breaks me, usually painfully. I don't want to go there. So I'd rather humble myself, ask God, Lord, sinner, asking you. I don't know if you've seen our website. It's somewhere, I think at front page. It said, one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread of life, where you can find living water. That's what our church is. There's nothing fancy about this church. I want God to hear me when I pray, so I come to Him with humility. Living for God's approval is far better than living for man's applause. Let me say one more time. Living for God's approval is far better than living for man's applause. Remember this, folks. Man's idea of reputation, fame, it goes from the penthouse to outhouse in split seconds. One moment they will love you, next moment they will kill you. Case in point, Jesus. Hosanna, save us now. 3 days later, they hung him. 1 Peter chapter 5, please. 1 Peter 5, 5, our memory verse. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Always remember that, please. Give grace to the humble. Resist. Back to Luke chapter 18, please. Now, say with me, prayer with complete trust in Jesus. Say with me, prayer with complete trust in Jesus. Verse 15. Then they also brought the infant to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them and to him and said, let the little one and little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. It was customary for a Jewish mom to bring their infant babies to the rabbi so the rabbi can bless them when they're little babies. It's kind of like a child dedication we do here. We don't do the infant baptism because that infant cannot make up their mind whether they want to follow Jesus Christ or not. In my opinion, infant baptism is a wrong concept. So bring the child and dedicate to the Lord. That's good. But disciples thought, in their own mind, they thought Jesus has a more important thing to do, like doing my thing, or being a king, conquering the Romans. But Jesus had a different mindset. Jesus wants us to be childlike. Say it with me, childlike, but not childish. But not childish, okay? An unspoiled child illustrates humility, faith, and dependence. A child has a sense of wonder that makes life exciting. Last night when my grandkids came, I gave them the keychain that looked like a coin. They started to collect challenge coins. Some of you guys have been in the military know what I'm talking about. Where did they get the idea of a challenge coin? Guilty. I'm the one who got that idea in their minds. I gave it to them. My two-year-old grandson looked at it. Six-year-old one is not impressed. He looked at it and said, okay. And he went back to his comic. Two-year-old looked at it and said, whoa. I thought, cool. There's a wonder. Expect and make their life exciting. And then he carried it around. What's special about that keychain? Nothing. But to him, it was something that Papa gave to him. The only way to enter God's kingdom is to become like child. Not literal child, childlike faith. Are you with me on that? Childlike faith. And be born again with complete trust in them, in him. Fourth element. Prayer with exclusive devotion to him. Say with me. Prayer with an exclusive devotion to him. Verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. According to the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, This ruler was young and very rich. And I know some of you single ladies thinking, oh, is he tall and dark and handsome? Is he single? Is he available? He's very dead, long ago. So forget it. He's not available for you. Good teacher was not. Good teacher was not a title Jewish people give to any normal people. They reserved the word good only for God. Only for God. So they insist that God, only God can be called good. And here Jesus is not denying that he is a deity. But if this young ruler really believed Jesus was good, quote unquote God, then he would confess that Jesus was God. And Jesus wanted him to understand that first. Then Jesus quickly quoted the second portion of the Ten Commandments. First Ten Commandments can be divided in two. First portion, first four commandments is the vertical relationship with God. You and God. Last six, the second portion is a relationship, horizontal relationship with other people. Are you with me on that? So that is important for you to know. And here, Jesus is quoting the second portion. Because he has this young rich ruler has a problem with dealing with the people because his money. He held the law before a young man as the mirror to reveal his sin. Jesus wanted this young man to admit that he was a sinner and desperately needed God more than money, his wealth, because his money was his God. Nobody is saved by giving all the wealth to some poor people. Was it God, Jesus trying to tell people, if you give all the money, you will be saved? Is that what he's saying? No. He's trying to remove his idol, little g God, from his heart. You follow me so far? There's a competing entity in his heart. Who gets on the throne in his heart? So far, money is on the throne. God is on the footstool. Jesus is trying to change that. Let me ask you this. Who is in your heart throne? You? Money? Your job? Or your spouse? Or your children? And you may say, oh no, but where do you spend most of your time? Wow, it's quiet here. Did I hit a little too close? Where do you spend majority of your mind? Which area? Do you spend your time in God's Word? Do you spend your time in thinking about God's things? Or do you spend thinking about how can I increase my money? Or all you can think about is your spouse or your job? Now we have a problem. This young man possessed the love of money and he would not let it go. Next one. Prayer with a faith in God's power. Say with me, prayer with God, faith in God's power. Verse 24. And when Jesus saw that, he became very sorrowful. He said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I think Jesus has a good sense of humor. Don't you think? He made a Jerry Hamby. Huh, Jerry? And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? Then he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come. Disciples are shocked because Jesus announced that the young man, the rich man, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In the Jewish mindset, guess what? If the more you are, the richer you are, the more you are blessed and you are godly. the more you're godly. Am I making sense? I think I botched the whole grammar there. Ain't the first time, ain't going to be the last time. The richer you are, the more godly you are in their mindset. Their mind, their concept just went out the window. It's not possessing money that keeps the people out of heaven, but it is being possessed by money and trusting it to make the salvation difficult for wealthy. Wealthy people, wealth gives the people a false sense of success and security. When the people are satisfied with themselves and they feel no need for God. Are you with me? When they have a lot of dough in their bank account, when they have cash in their pocket, big wads, they feel like they're on top of the world. They don't need no stinking God. Peter was still not convinced by what Jesus said, so he wanted to know what's in for them and for the rest of the guys. Jesus comforted him by telling him that what is impossible to man is possible for God. This promise of God does not only apply to our salvation, but it also applies to anything we think impossible. As listen, and you're thinking, oh, goody, that means can I have a Lamborghini? No, as long as it's in you, in God's will. I heard some quote-unquote faith movement teacher said, don't ask God if it's in your will in your prayer. Really? Jesus said three times at the Garden of Gethsemane, I'd rather listen to Jesus than some TV preacher telling us that we shouldn't pray according to God's will. If it's in God's will, it will be done according to His time. Let me say one more time. If it's in God's will, what you ask is in His will, it will be done according to His time. Get it? Okay. Sixth ingredient, element. Prayer with obedience and sacrifice. Say it with me. Prayer with obedience and sacrifice. Verse 31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophet concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentile and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon, and they will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. When you were in high school or junior high, whatever, when you were in school, did the teacher, I'm sure it happened, your teacher explained this formula of math, and do you get it? And you're sitting there. Uh-huh. And you're thinking, I have no idea. Have you been there? I did it many times. This is a case in point. Jesus is speaking to them. I'm going to die. Again, for how many times? Umpteen times, he's been telling them his death and resurrection. Again, they're saying, we get it, but I have no idea. And actually, didn't care. Because in their mind, Jesus is going to be a king to conquer the Rome. Jesus was telling them about complete obedience to the Father and self-sacrifice for heaven, like he's doing. In spite of what was about to happen. Obedience, self-sacrifice was not something we pick up from our parents or friends. It only can be taught by the Holy Spirit. And you may say, where is the obedience and the self-sacrifice coming from? Remember what Jesus said? If you want to be a follower of mine, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. Was I lying to you? Just coming up with a fancy theology? No. I'm just repeating what the Bible said. All right, go down to verse 35. Prayer with expectation. Say with me, prayer with expectation. Verse 35. Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out saying, Jesus, I want you to note the next three words, Son of David. Okay? Very important words. Have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. When he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith, note that, and circle that, your faith, and connect it to three words that I mentioned, Son of David. Connect that line. Do you have ever done that in your textbook? Circle, circle, and make a line? You see, let me explain. Your faith has made you well, and immediately he received his sight, following him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. The fact that he addressed him, Jesus, Son of David, is a messianic title. Okay? Messianic title, because that's something that King David wrote. Indicate that Jewish beggar knew that Jesus could give a sight to the blind. Even though he was blind, he could see what remember the rich young ruler could not see? Rich young ruler thought he would just give him some tip. He did not see him as the Messiah. Jesus responded to his faith and healed him. He went from darkness to light, and from begging to following Jesus, and from crying to praising. The beggar expected great healing from the great Messiah. He had nothing under his named claim, but he openly admitted his need. If you are going, listen, come on. Don't put your Bible away. Don't ever do that until I finish it, because I might come up with another verse at the end. If you are going to pray to God, if you expect nothing from him, don't ever bother to pray. Because it's saying, I'm saying all this, God, but I know you cannot do this. In other words, you're showing you don't have faith in him. Are you with me on that? If you pray according to his will, expect that our great, mighty God can do great, wonderful things beyond your expectation. According to his will, according to his time. Amen? Application. Number one, we need to come to the Lord with persistence in our prayer. Number two, we need to come to the Lord with humility in our prayer. Number three, we need to come to the Lord with a complete trust in our prayer. Number four, we need to come to the Lord with an exclusive devotion to Him in our prayer. Key is exclusive, folks. Don't divide your devotion with anyone. Number five, we need to come to the Lord with a faith in His power in our prayer. Number six, we need to come to the Lord with the obedience and self-sacrifice in our prayer. Number seven, we need to come to the Lord with what? Expectation in our prayer. Amen?